traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
He was rolling on the ground for about 15, 20 minutes. He calls me the next day going, you broke my ribs. I'm like, what'd you expect? I'm sorry.
I drank basically a whole bottle of CBD this morning. I'm not even fucking here right now, dude. I don't even know what planet I'm on.
Yeah, you look really spaced out.
I'm fucking gone, dude.
I got this, boys. Hey, welcome back to Impulsive, the #1 podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed, work on it.
Yeah, maybe do it.
Make it happen.
Do your best. That's all we can ask from you is just do your best.
We're in a bit of a mood today. Like I have a sinus infection. I just got back from the doctors. Told me I have stuff in my throat.
Dude, what's going on with you, man?
I'm sick 6 months out of the year.
You've been sick for 20 years.
You know why, bro? Because I'm not vegan like you.
That's true.
And Andre.
That's
true. I see these guys walking around the house just crystal clear skin.
Yeah. Yep.
Throats
just running up walls.
I've seen Andre on like Spider-Man hanging, bro, just from his hands.
Yeah, that's about 3 years after being vegan, you can start climbing on ceilings.
That's great. Yeah,
he told me he can't get sick. He can just walk into like a chamber with a bunch of sick people and it just doesn't affect him. He's got like an iron fucking dome.
He told me that too, but I knew you were sick one day
for
2 days.
Me too.
And you'd ask him and he'd be like, no, I'm fine.
it's called vegan sick though. It's like half-ass sickness. It doesn't really set in, you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I told you. Everything's half-ass. Vegan sick, vegan dick. Like, I can't even imagine being a girl having to fuck a gluten-free vegan, dude. Shout out Blue. I don't know how you do it. Oh, shit. Can I even say that? I didn't mean sex. I meant like the transfer of energy. No offense. Where is she? Fuck.
No comment.
They're energy partners.
Fuck,
no comment.
They're energy
it's
partners.
Like, bro, it's like a girlfriend without all the bullshit.
Facts.
Like she's there to exchange energy with you, not like complain about things.
Yeah, bro, that's dope. We were at Andre's vegan birthday party the other day and the shit you see at these parties, bro, I like try to keep my mind open to it. It's so amazing. But I saw these people. There was one guy and then there were two girls, one in front of him, one behind him. And they were going like this to him. And wait. I'm like, yo, I just out of curiosity, like what the fuck is going on over there? And they were like, oh, it's they're doing a healing ritual. And they were like,
yeah. Transferring energy.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, dude. I was like, which one would heal me? Dude, what the fuck is good? They're hot girls, by the way. Hot girls too, because the vegan skin.
It's the best part about the vegans. They don't have pores.
Mm-hmm.
Plant-based food gets rid of your pores. It smooths them over.
Yep. It's like they rely on photosynthesis. Like they're
I've seen Spencer on his back out in the yard, like kind of doing this before, like a beetle in heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I saw at Andre's birthday party, I turned on the Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz fight.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that's where I happened to be.
Yeah.
And as a not professional boxer, maybe 0-1 as of now, assuming the appeal doesn't come back.
0-1-1.
No, I think the first one's the first amateur. One's amateur doesn't count. Yeah,
don't worry. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, he's chilling.
One is no official victory yet, but who needs that? I'll probably get there.
We're working on it.
So I turned the fight on, and I was sure that I was going to be reprimanded by the vegans because— Let's be honest, bro. If you're vegan, some things that just go hand in hand, pacifism. Let's be honest. I'm surrounded by pacifists.
Are there any like combative vegans that just want to like eat plants and just fight?
Nate Diaz.
He's like one of two, bro. There's two. Point is, I turned on this fight and I was scared I was going to get yelled at because all the vegans are like dancing in their circle, praying, healing each other. Yeah, and here I am watching like a very violent sport and distracting from the true king of the night. Which was you, Andre.
It's
and
true.
Then they, yeah. No, but they made it their own again and claimed the territory because they started doing acro yoga in front of the TV.
Oh my God.
Yeah, do you remember that?
You're like watching like the most important round and you see some girl getting elevated by someone else's legs. And exactly. She's like, I'm flying, Jack. Look at me.
Exactly.
I'm just like, yo, what the?
Hey, you guys, as much as you joke about it though, you've enjoyed the community.
Fantastic, right? Bro.
Coming over to the mother tree. No, you haven't? You're lying, bro.
I enjoy
really? Like it. You got a soft
I enjoy,
spot too.
I enjoy their sentiment.
Okay. Okay.
I had a heart to heart with Andre's girlfriend the other day. I told her, I was like, yo, I've given it so many tries. And like, I think I'm at the point where I've officially put my foot down and like that life is just not for me.
Mm. There's just something I like it. Cause there's something to be said about people that just can't be like shaken by like any of the normals, like shakers of life. Like they're just like, you could see a vegan literally out there get hit by a car and they just bounce back up and they're just like, gotta think of the positive side of things, man. What the fucking positive is there about getting hit by a F-150? And they just pop up. They're like, dude, you never know who you're going to meet at the hospital, man. Like as they get wheeled away on the fucking gurney. And they're like, I met the nurse in my dreams there and it changed my energy and aura spectrum.
By the way, like that's how he interprets positives.
Just constant positive vibes.
It's accurate. Yep. So many vegans getting hit by F-150s. It is so common nowadays.
Tesla truck though,
tonight. Ooh, the Tesla truck. I'd be blessed to get hit with a Tesla truck. A fucking rhombus on wheels.
I ordered one. I pre-ordered one.
We think it should be called the Rhombus.
Ooh.
Because it works, bro.
Did you hear why it's shaped that way?
Because they relied on a fourth grader to draw the fucking concept for
exactly.
it. And you're just like,
they went to a geometry class. Someone drew
wheels
a triangle
on a fucking
on
hexagon.
No, it's because they
can't cut it. Yeah. Because it's like, what kind of, it's
the steel.
Right. It's like
makes
steel.
It impossible
stainless
to bend
steel
and put in a design other than polygonal.
I hated it at first. I think it's dope.
It's sick.
Are you guys a fan of the truck?
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. They got a lot of pre-orders.
200K, like, over 200K now.
200,000?
Yeah.
$20 million, right? Because it's $100 to pre-order.
Secure,
I wonder how many people will follow up with that. You think all, like, percentage?
I think quite a few, man.
You're a numbers guy.
I don't know. I just think it was funny because, like, so many people were just like, just bought the new.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh. The joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Tesla truck and like hella people are like flexing on Instagram. Yeah. It's like $100.
It's $100 to get
yo,
it.
But my thing on it too is like
that's smart though on their end.
Hell yeah. So it kind of because they have their like confirmation and shit, but it looks like one of those things where it's like, you know, those like really like fashion forward things that happen and people are just like, it's only because of the hype that they buy it. Like somebody's like their dress to the Met Gala is really like a raincoat with like human heads dangling off the bottom of it. And they're like, oh my God, Jared Leto fucking smashed this one. But it's only because it was Jared Leto and Virgil worked on it.
And you can never wear it again.
Yeah. Like I feel like people are just like, yo, you know what? Like cars are cool. Aerodynamics are cool. But fucking I'm buying a hexagon on wheels, bro. Like only because everybody else is
about it.
They also built an electric ATV. It's like, it's like the little brother of the truck. And it's very cool. I would love to get that.
I said one way to spice up the Rhombus is to put a 50 cal on top of it because it looks like
it needs it.
You know what it looks like? It's a warthog from Halo.
Yes. Yeah.
Really if you like, put a turret on top,
a big
50 chilling.
Cal turret, dude. Like they should have that as like an add-on. Like, you know how you could add on, you could buy the 1 engine, 2 engine, 3 engine. They should do 3 engine plus 50 cal machine gun.
Plus turret.
Is there a chance? Yeah. I hate to be this guy. Is there a chance that the truck actually doesn't exist and Elon just uses this as a quick scheme to raise like 20 million?
100 bucks. 100%. I said 100 bucks. 100%. That's how much it costs. But yeah, definitely, bro.
I don't think so. Because have you seen the video of it?
The only reason
literally
I asked,
pulling an F-150 uphill.
That was insane.
That was crazy.
I think it's because since it's a battery, it's an electric vehicle, the battery is incredibly heavy and the truck, the pickup truck stood no chance.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask is because I don't know how to say this. Where is the Tesla Roadster that was going to come out in 2020? Have we heard anything about this?
Was it supposed to come out in 2020?
Where's the electric semi-truck that is supposed to come out next year? Jake pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, it's not 25,000.
It's not, but I've heard the Tesla Roadster is being pushed another year.
Oh, really?
And I'm assuming.
I think a lot of it comes back to the gigafactories that they're making. I think it like takes more time than expected.
Yeah, what's good
with those gigafactories? I don't know, bro. It's taking time.
It's whack,
if you're
dude.
Building an electric car company.
Time's
not
something we have all that much of, bro, because people are killing the earth with koala bears are burning. I don't know.
Oh yeah, the
but
koala
there's like
bears.
A lot of death going on. Like Elon's got to hurry it the fuck up and
yeah,
get us our fucking giga
trucks. He's got to get shit together.
Well,
yeah.
Here's some good news. Black Friday is on this Friday.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Fashionova.com is going live this weekend with the biggest Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. And I believe it. Coming from a person as a business owner, I do some big Black Friday sales, but Fashionova got me beat. As you guys know, we are big fans of Fashionova and all their gear. Not just hot girls on Instagram. They have dope clothes for men, too. Like me, I'm a guy. Shop Fashionova and Fashionova Men during this limited time offer. Fashionova also just launched a new payment installation plan with QuadPlay. QuadPay, sorry. You can purchase your entire order and Fashionova will break up the total into 4 payments/installments. It's super easy and everyone is instantly approved so you can look fly for your holiday party and not go broke. Mm. Shopfashionova.com.
There we go.
They actually sent me some stuff, a lot of stuff. I'm getting emails about like, they probably got me like 50 pieces of gear. So
there we go.
Yeah,
I wish I have some of it.
Yeah, yeah, you should be a brand ambassador for Fashion Nova.
That well, shot, we're Rich, what's good, dude? Mm-hmm. I need some money. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, wow, I'm hyped.
Yeah, this is big.
This is big.
This is really
our big. Guest today is arguably the most popular fighter in the history of the UFC. You can call him champ. You can call him the Iceman. And you can call him an Entourage guest star. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chuck Liddell. Woo!
Wow. Oh, hell yeah.
There we go.
Wow.
How you guys doing?
What's amazing. Up, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
Good. You walked in this way, which makes you the third guest
of
officially
all time.
Do that. But number one in my eyes, Chuck.
Well, thanks. I'll take it.
How you feeling, man?
I feel great, man.
Are you still training?
Yeah, still training. Yeah, I'm coming off. I just had neck surgery and knee surgery, but.
Recently?
About 2 months ago. Yeah, wow. So
that's not great. That's pretty recent.
Hey, man, you know, it's wear and tear. You know, I could beat up my body for I'm turned 50 in December, so beat up my body for about 40 years training.
When are you gonna stop, man?
I don't think I'm ever gonna stop. Really? I ain't planning on stopping ever. So we'll see.
What happened to the neck and knee? What was the surgery?
My knee was just my bone on bone cartilage, bone on bone. Yeah. I had to get a partial knee replacement, which. They do this real well nowadays. So, you know, they said if I was playing football, I could go back to football after. So
is that considered arthritis?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And then my neck was just, it was actually pretty bad. I wear and tear, but my 3 and 4, it was tapping my spinal cord. So I couldn't pass a drunk test. Yeah. Over. You know, we're fighters. I sit there, guys, at my doctor asked me, are you feeling any symptoms? Are you in balance? Anything? No, I'm fine. I'm good. He's like, okay, do me a favor. Go across, stand on the other side of the room. Close your eyes and walk to me heel toe. And I started trying to walk. I'm like,
That's hard. That's difficult.
Yeah, I couldn't do it at all. Dead sober. I couldn't. I falling off the side. I'm like, wait, no, I got it. Hold on. Give me a second.
Oh, no.
I couldn't. Okay, he's like, try to balance on 1 foot. I'm like,
no, that
yeah, close your eyes. I can balance on 1 foot with my eyes open and close it.
It's next to impossible. Before my fight, and you've had to do this too, they made me stand on one of the foam mats that are this thick, stand on 1 foot and close my eyes. It is impossible. Right now, when you're watching this, wherever you are, I don't care where you are. If you're in class, you do this right now. You stand up on 1 foot and balance. Now close your eyes and balance. It's so much harder. So I mean, maybe it's not
a lot harder, but it was to the point where I could cheat it because I do that too. when they showed up for a surprise urinalysis and they did it, but they did a neuro test for me while I was there too. I'm like, what am I doing a neuro? I guess because I'm 40. I was 48 at the time, so yeah. I guess they want to do an extra neuro test. So, but they did that, and I was fair. I couldn't do it. I'm like, okay, I'll just.
You cheat, yeah?
I just cheated a little bit. I cheated a little bit.
You can squint a little bit.
As long as you can see.
Yeah.
At what point are those tests like impossible too? Like like the ones with the cops when they're like, when you're drunk and they have you come outside your car and they're like, you know, stand on one foot, put your finger on your nose, recite the alphabet backwards while also reciting the Declaration of Independence forward. You're like, yo, what? I can't, yeah, I couldn't do this when I was 18. Can't perfect. It. Like, it's impossible, dude.
So I had to get that stuff cleaned up. But I mean, you know, you got to pay the piper sooner or later. You know, I put my body through a lot, and I'm getting off cheap, I think. So
you still plan on fighting?
I still plan on training. I do some jiu-jitsu matches. I think I'll still stay out there doing something.
Ah, got you. Yeah, because the stuff you did for the UFC and coming out, like, man, I've been watching you since from like day one, and it's incredibly inspiring to see. And the biggest question I wanted to ask you was, like, you did UFC before it was cool, before it was mainstream. In fact, you were coming up at the same time of it, and a lot of its success, I would argue, is attributed to you. Did you fight because it's all you knew, or why did you fight before it became a cool thing to be a fighter?
I fight because I love fighting. I mean, I grew up doing martial arts. I was actually graduating in accounting. With an accounting degree. My grandma was mad at me for us doing kickboxing to keep competing. Mm. And my grandma was mad at me, like, when are you going to get a real job? And then I was thinking about it, getting a real job. And I fought one mixed martial arts fight. And I'm like, nah, I like this. I'm going to stick it here. and honestly, back when I started, I mean, a home run back then was maybe 150 grand, 200 yeah, grand sure. a year. Yeah. I mean, not like for a fight. Now, like I'd say, like, by the end of my career, I was making that on my shorts. You know, like stuff on my shirt. So, I mean, it was a good choice for me. I made the right decision, but it was because I love fighting. I just didn't want to get a real job.
But what about it? Is it hitting people? Is it avoiding getting hit?
It's the competition of it. And trying to beat, you know, beat that other person. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a very violent, I'm actually not a very, very violent person as far as, I don't like hurting people.
Yeah,
but when I go out there to fight you, I am trying to kill you. As soon as it's over, I hope you're all right. But I hope you're okay. But I am trying to take your head off. I'm trying to hurt you.
You didn't do that kind of stuff prior to fighting. Did you get in fights in high school?
I got a lot of fights.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm not buying your story about not being a, like.
I always say I was never a bully. I never got picked on people, but I didn't like people picking on other people.
Yeah,
and I like to fight. So, you know, you come up, someone going, oh, hey, he doesn't want to fight you, but I will.
Nice.
You know, nice. I figured out when I was about 21, 22, I always said I never made you fight me if you wanted to walk away. But when I was younger, it made it real hard for you to walk away. You know, I mean, you had to put your tail between your legs and crawl out the door. And as I got older, I give you a bunch of outs. Right. And I walk out. You want to do this or
you
no?
You don't want to do this. Yeah. Like, you probably tell people, like, trust me, you don't want to fucking do this.
Well, you know, since people got to see me fight, I have never, I don't have that problem. I don't, guys don't come up and try to challenge me.
I can't imagine.
I mean, really, honestly, the guys, most guys, if you know who I am anyway, I'm not known as like a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu guy. I'm known as a brawler with heavy hands.
Yeah.
So that's not exactly the guy you want to fight in the street. I'm not, you know, and really the guy that, the assholes that would actually do that are fans of mine. So.
that's a bucket list item.
Get knocked out by Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
might as well. I've had guys, I've had people really want me to hit them.
Yeah, you fucked up a couple of my boys. Steve-O.
Oh yeah. That was for fun. That was fun. He's great. He's awesome, man.
Who's the one of the Dudesons?
I hit him that recently. Yeah,
he punched him in the face.
Yeah, you know the funny thing. They call me up and his manager goes, "Hey man, he wants you to come over and knock him out." I'm like, look, man, I know that's what he does for a living, but does he understand what that means? Like, because like if you ask me to knock you out, okay, here's the problem. I can't just kind of hit you. Because you put me on blast. Yeah, I got to hit. I'm going to hit you with everything I got.
It's your brand. You're representing your fucking brand.
I'm now going to hit you with everything I got. I did that with a guy with a body shot. I had a guy, we were in that's Kentucky Derby, okay. Which a DJ the night before, we're out there, and he goes, "Hey, man, I think I can take a body shot from you." I'm been drinking. I'm not going to hit you. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to hit you. And then he goes, "Well, can I announce that you're here?" I said, "Sure." So he announces that I'm there and then says, he tells everyone he's going to take a body shot from me in front of everybody. somewhere. Normally, if I had been drinking and I knew you, okay, I'll give you a body shot, but I'll tap you, not real hard, just give you, dig it a little bit. And most people drop, yeah. and that's fine. If it didn't drop, no big deal.
Yeah.
You put me on blast in front of everybody. I was world champ at the time.
Now you got to fuck
I'm
like, up.
Okay, yeah. So now I'm hitting them with the kitchen sink. So I remember I've been drinking. I said I've been drinking, I warned them. So I was off by a little bit. Well, he was rolling on the ground for about 15, 20 minutes. He calls me the next day going, you motherfucker, you broke my ribs. I'm like, what'd you expect? I'm sorry. Actually, he was really cool about it. I mean, he didn't really try to get stupid.
If you're going to break your ribs, that's how you do it at that point.
It's out back. But also, bro, I mean, what are you trying to do to me? I don't want to do the body shot challenge with Chuck Liddell. Did you not hear the story he just told? Please. Ryan Garcia, no fucking problem. No offense, Ryan. Chuck's a big guy.
Was it a well-known DJ?
I forget his name.
His name was Diplo?
Imagine that. Was like some huge.
Diplo would do that, by the way.
West Marshmallow would think about it. Something like that?
I'd expect nothing less of the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
why have I not done that yet? That's great. Yo, side note, are they getting rid of the horse racing events?
I don't think so.
All right, well,
I know in trouble for a lot of horses dying on the track.
No dog racing though. Yeah, well, I thought there's an animal racing event that they're nixing completely.
Well, I think they want to get rid of all of those kind of events. There's people that want to the Santa Ana track. I mean, how many horses died over that short? Was it 9, 10?
More
over a very short period of time. Still. And it is really dangerous. And if a horse breaks its leg, they just come out and kill it on the track, right? They put
Florida banned greyhound racing.
Yeah. Los Angeles considering banning horse racing.
Anyways, that's why the show's called Impulsive.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I was listening to you earlier. Funny.
Thanks,
bro.
Speaking of being out and about, I've seen you out at a couple clubs. You go out and hang out and stuff.
I like that. I like to have a good time. I'm not afraid to mix it up. No.
Evan met him with you, right?
I wasn't there that night, but I've seen him a bunch of times, and I always think to myself, I'm like, dude, no matter what happens tonight, like, everyone is just a little bit more on edge, like about not drinking too much and saying something stupid. Like, usually it's all these like pussy ass, like LA celebs, and you could say whatever the fuck you want, like joke around. But like, yo, you go up to Chuck Liddell, you had a few drinks. It's like, Chuck, very nice to meet you.
Yeah.
No disrespect. I know if you don't like meat, we could say something else. Like, how do you? Just everybody's on guard. Right.
You guys are really on that vegan thing, huh?
Well, we're surrounded by them.
Yeah, we got a couple in the house. Yeah,
they're running around here.
You ever have a crazy story where you had to put someone in place when they approach you, whether it's like a fan or like at a party or?
You know, let me think. Not in a long time, man. I haven't had. I usually check people pretty quick. It's like, you know, but it's funny. You get these guys, big tough guys. I'll tell you a story. When I was in college, I had a guy, you know, he's throwing his shoulder into my buddy. He's about 6'3", 6'4", probably 230.
Big guy.
Yeah, big dude. Guy.
I mean, at that time, I was about 205. And, you know, so I go, okay. So I'm going to throw my shoulder in him. Hey, man, you got a problem? He's all. Or it started getting all tough. And I'm okay, let's go outside. He's like, huh? My buddy owns this bar. I can't fight in here. Let's go outside. And he's like, are you coming? I mean, he's starting to start walking. Yeah. Are you coming? Man, my wife left me.
Oh, here we go.
Come on. Damn.
Well, then that doesn't give you a right to pick on my buddy. He's 145 pounds soaking wet and never fought a day in his life.
Can you imagine that scenario, dude?
But even back then, I don't know who I am. He didn't know who I was. I mean, I was just doing kickboxing back then. And it was like, but you know, you can read it in guys' eyes. I mean, I tell him, like, hey, man, the fuck do you say?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, oh, hey, I didn't mean that. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sort of scared of nowadays. And actually you kind of made me realize this. I feel like men are getting more and more brave when it comes to getting into street fights. And I watched you when you and Shannon had that little thing and you didn't back down. And I think it's because like, either he's not registering the danger that he's about to be in, or like the person who's pressing you, or he just doesn't care, which is his scenario. Like a drunk guy at a club who approaches me and is chirping at me, quite honestly, probably doesn't care enough about his health to not press me.
Right. I know that's a problem.
At the time.
And like, in this story.
Nowadays, too, you got to worry. Everyone, and it used to happen all the time before, too. Someone comes out, he does something, they take a swing at you, drop them, and then they're calling the cops. Like, yeah, they want to press charges on you. I'm like, I love you trying to press charges right now.
Yeah.
I just see it all the time. We'll see guy. I mean, I tell the cops, hey, man, that guy, leave him alone. Because that guy was trying to run away, and that guy took a swing at him. He turned around and dropped him. Now this guy's complaining. Yeah. And you know, leave the guy. Okay, leave him alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are your hands registered weapons? Is that?
I hear that all the time. You know, here's the way I look at it. I mean, from what I understand, you're allowed to, you know, I'm still allowed to defend myself.
Yeah.
But you're held to a higher standard of, like, it's hard for me to say I was, you know, if some guy comes up, a random guy, was I in fear of a serious bodily injury? I mean, no, if my wife's there and I say, hey, this guy's attacking my wife and I'm protecting her, I've got every right to protect her like anyone else does, or my kids or whatever. But you're held to a higher standard, and I'm going to be held, which is stupid too. Like, people like act like just because you're a fighter, you should be able to hit a guy just hard enough not to stop him. You know, you don't know. Everybody has a different chin. I've had guys you whiff a jab by their face and they fall down, and you have other guys you hit them in the head with a brick and they're still standing looking at you like, you know. So it's so stupid. You know, you get in a street fight, if I throw a punch, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
I'm not holding anything back, and I'm going to drop you as fast as I can.
Yeah.
So...
Are you still involved with the UFC at all? You watching it?
I still watch UFC. I'm still a fan of the sport. Big fan.
What do you think about the current state of the UFC? And has it changed at all since you were in it?
Well, it depends on what time when I was in it. I mean, it's there's a lot more fights. Here's the thing: when people start saying, "Oh, it's not as exciting," look, man, there's 40 some odd UFCs a year now. So remember that you got to put on 400 actual matches.
Yeah.
Right. Figure 10 matches a fight. Yeah. 400. Before there were 6. So you're talking about 60 actual matches. You know, so obviously the talent, it's going to be watered down in it, but there's a lot of talent out there now.
Yeah.
There's a lot more guys training. And, you know, when we started, like, it was like you take a guy from boxing, they had boxing, and he'd have to learn wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Mm. And or you take a guy from wrestling, they have to learn jiu-jitsu and boxing. And now everyone's starting to learn everything from the beginning. And, it's evolving that way. I mean, when I started, one of the advantages I had is I was a wrestler and a kickboxer. Mm. And so I had to learn jiu-jitsu, and so I only had to learn one extra element. But, it just keeps evolving, and the guys are going to keep getting better. I mean, nowadays we are trying to figure out how to spar for this, how to train for this. Now they got nutritionists, strength coaches. They've been working on this for a long time, and it's just going to keep getting better. And guys are going to keep, they started from the beginning and keep getting better and better.
What made you want to come out of retirement? Because when I saw that you were coming out of retirement to fight Ortiz, it was incredibly cool, but it's also a bold move.
I love fighting. I missed it all that time, and the opportunity came. Someone made the suggestion. And, I got talked into it. It wasn't real hard to twist my arm. I've been training with guys. I still train with guys all the time. And,
Any takeaways from that fight?
For me, I would, now looking back, I wish I'd fixed my, paid attention to my body and fixed my injury first. Because, I mean, that balance didn't help. I went back and watched the fight. I tripped over the blue line in the beginning of the fight. I'm like, oh, shit. That was a problem. Yeah. Okay, that would have helped if I had that problem. That's solid, but
no, it's a good takeaway, and I think a lot of people can learn from that. Like, trying to fight through injuries is for me actually, I think, one of the most mentally draining things. Like when I get injured in training camp or just even in general, it is so hard for me to pretend that I'm okay.
Yeah, but and it's the other thing too, where we do it so often and do it for so long that. Sometimes you have to listen to your body too.
I agree.
Yeah. I got a thick skull. Yeah. Fighters have thick skulls. It's hard to get listen to your body. Something's not working right now.
When something doesn't work for me and I fucked my body up in some way, shape or form, the biggest thing that's helped me recover or get over it mentally and not just pretend like my world is over because I pulled a hamstring 2 months before a fight is sheer optimism and trust that it will get better. Like time heals all wounds, quite literally. Mm-hmm. And you got to trust. And if you do your rehab the right way and believe, then you'll probably get over that hump.
Yeah, for sure.
That helps me. Have you ever had a crazy injury during a fight that you had to fight through? You always hear about fighters like breaking a wrist in round two. And
I've never had anything real bad in a fight. Mm-hmm. I haven't had anything, I've gone into fights with torn MCL. It's the end of the first Tito.
How do you do that?
So the first, end of the fight, I tore it 2 weeks before the first Tito fight. And if you, at the end of the round, when I run the first round, I kick him in the head, right? I walk back to the corner like, don't limp.
They can't see. You can't show anyone.
Don't limp. Don't limp. Not going to kick again. Done kicking. We're done kicking.
Yeah. Knee injuries are
and
terrible.
I want to knock him out the next round, like 30 seconds. But nice. It was like, I threw that kick in it because it was like, if he just inside leg kick me, I would have froze, freeze my knee for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
15
oh, yeah.
seconds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because it was torn pretty bad, but.
But you became an actor.
You have to because I didn't want to. That plus Tito's a head case, so I didn't want to give him any confidence. Like if he saw me limping back to my corner, that would have revived him. He would have got. I got a chance. I got to go after that leg. And but I made it over the corner and walked back. I let it rest and came back out and knocked him out. So
people underestimate those leg kicks too. Like we've been seeing a lot of who was it the other. Recently that we were watching it and they just kept going after that. Like, I think it was Diaz that was getting struck by
Masvidal
over and over again, that leg kick to that quad region, just smacking it. You can see the whole leg is bright red, purple.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Yeah, and it makes it hard to put weight on it.
Yeah.
To throw your and then you start losing power in your right hand. You know, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you enjoy the 30 for 30?
The 30 for 30 was great. Yeah. I thought they did a good job of covering a lot of issues.
You opened up about a lot of stuff. I feel like you haven't talked about too much before.
Yeah, I haven't talked about a lot of that stuff too much. But it's at some point you just don't care anymore.
Yeah,
I like stop caring about talking about things. So
yeah, the relationship with your dad, was that like the first time you kind of opened up about that?
First time I talked about. I think it's the first time I really talked about it publicly.
Yeah.
So that it got a lot of coverage. But for a long time, I don't think I care. I don't know that I cared that much. I mean, I think I realized finally that I actually did care a little bit at the end. But I mean, that was kind of me actually seeing those kids off and telling them, pound sand, that was kind of where I kind of, okay, I'm fine. I'm over it. Mm-hmm. I was done with it.
Yeah. I thought it was really, really well done. One of my good friends, you worked with Micah Brown.
Yeah.
So he was my film mentor a while back.
Oh man, he did a really great job, and he had a lot of obstacles and a lot of stuff he had to deal with, and between UFC and ESPN and all that stuff, they had a lot of stuff, but they did, and they were covering a lot of material because it reminded me of so many stories and so many things, but they covered a lot of material, I think, pretty well.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest sports series, that 30 for 30. It's incredible.
They did a great job. Yeah.
I heard the original intent of that wasn't to be what it became.
Really?
Yeah. I heard it was designed as a... It was something about the play on the words 30 on 30... What is it?
30 for 30. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it became that. I think that... is one of the smartest things broadcasters are doing right now is producing like really high end premium content that hypes the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I just had my fight on DAZN. Yeah. They are by far the best partner we've ever had.
My God.
And when a fight organization can optimize in that way, especially for social, I think if Bellator can nail down something like that, like Scott Coker, I hope you're listening. I mean, maybe I can help you a little bit, but I think they'd present a real competitor to the UFC.
If you can
optimize your content.
Yeah, you have to.
That Joshua Ruiz doc that we watched that they produced, it was a 38 minute piece of content that they made for YouTube, for their YouTube channel, that showed kind of the lead up to Ruiz Joshua 1 and had Tyson's thoughts on it and who else, Holyfield's thoughts on it and all those guys there. And
the way that was produced. If you haven't watched that piece yet,
it's called One Night.
One Night.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check that out. That's incredible.
It is awesome.
Right? Produced by Sylvester Stallone.
Yep.
We went and watched it with Sylvester Stallone and Holyfield. And it was amazing.
Like dicking around on the red carpet with right Rocky. Behind.
Some of the shit that happens, I still can't ever get used to, and I don't even fucking try to, dude. Like they're interviewing Rocky, and me and Logan are in the background, like dicking around, and they're like. We're like over the volume of the fucking interview.
It's me, Mac, Mike, and Ryan Garcia being fucking idiots
on the behind black
Sylvester
carpet.
Stallone. Who, by the way, I think is like 73, and that man looks great.
Mm. Yeah,
some people just got it.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
I'm trying to be one of those people, man.
Money helps.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You do a lot of stuff to stay young with the right.
Hey, you ever
of money.
Fuck around with like stem cells and stuff?
Yeah, actually, I did. I went down to. Columbia recently.
Before, no way.
Before I did this, the knee surgery, I tried on my knee, but I did both shoulders and my knee. And my doctor says my shoulders look like I played in the NFL for 15 years from the MRIs. But I couldn't put my jacket on. I couldn't lift my arms. I got both of them shot up in June.
Oh, they responded well.
Damn.
They responded great. Wow. They're amazing.
Damn.
What about the knee?
They said it. They even when I did it, they said I don't know if it's going to help much because it's bone on bone. There's nothing there to grow. There's nothing there to fix. Yeah. There's nothing left. It's a straight down. I waited. I was straight down to the bone, so there wasn't much to do.
You sound like Frankenstein, man. You sound like you've like slowly pieced your body back together, sort of.
Yeah. No. It's a bunch of wear and tear. Most of my injuries. I've been lucky through my career as far as injuries go. I mean, most of my injuries are wear and tear. Like it just over time, your body's gives out. You want to beat it up that much and that hard for that long, it's going to give out at some point.
Versus just like a super, like a moment of impact and break.
Break and snap and a break and my body stayed together pretty well.
Gotcha. It's, you know what else was cool? Watching your come up was your success in the UFC allowed you to do a lot of different things in Hollywood. Like when I saw you on Entourage.
Oh, that was awesome.
Crazy.
That was one of those things I asked everybody I knew. I love that show. So I wanted to be on it. I asked everybody I knew. 5 different people took credit for getting me on the show. I don't care. I don't care. Hey, thank you, everyone. I don't care who got me on there. But it was cool. I just wanted to come on and say hi to Vance or whatever. Something just a cameo. But I guess I talked to the writer afterwards. He said, well, we're going to have Chuck on. We might as well put him in because we're doing a prank show.
Oh, sick.
You know, they were doing, because that show was like a You Got Got. So they just, we'll just make Chuck the prank. So that's what they did. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Probably the best show ever made. One of the best shows ever made. I mean, one of the.
I think it's the last show I've actually watched. It got a little serious at the end. I was too much. It was a fun, like, it was 23 minutes. It's like really kind of like just fun to watch. Watch it. You know, but yeah, that was a great show. I love watching. That was the last show that I think I've watched. I actually would try to watch it every Sunday when it aired. I didn't worry about TiVoing it. Last show I think I've caught on time.
Mm-hmm. I watched Sopranos straight through every episode.
I didn't catch that till the end. Someone, I was coming up to the end. Someone said, you got to watch this. I binge watched that I was like watching like 3 episodes a day for a while.
Yeah. Just came out with a full beard.
Talking like Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini.
Can you actually grow a full beard or is it only Fu Manchu?
It's only this. It doesn't grow anywhere else. That's why I stayed with this.
Yeah. It just gave up.
It's trained.
That's impressive.
What do you think? What do you think makes a successful fighter in the UFC? And I ask because, for selfish reasons, I may find myself doing a stint in MMA.
Well, for me, you need to be competent at all three. Wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and striking. You need to be competent at all three. Really good at one. Like I think you need to excel at one, and then the other two you need to be competent at. And at least, like for me, like when I learned jiu-jitsu in the beginning, like I was in a rush to learn jiu-jitsu because I like to strike. I like to, so I kind of concentrated on learning about 20% of jiu-jitsu, everything that they use to get off the bottom. And then obviously I had to learn to defend submissions, right? So I'd learned how to do, but I wasn't trying to work that a lot. I wasn't trying to drill it. I drilled getting off the bottom, staying in good position on top and getting out and getting back up. And I was able to use that and I got really good at those things. So I could roll with those. I could roll with almost anybody out there and still get out. I get out and get away. That's all I wanted. And, which is different. I mean, it's a little harder now. Guys have gotten used to, they've seen a lot of stuff that we started doing to get up and get out. But as you do it longer and longer, you get better and better at different options for getting out. And it's different because a lot of guys, jiu-jitsu guys, spend most of their time working on, they're used to other guys who are trying to roll them and get in position for submissions. So I'd be halfway through a move and then I just pull my leg out. I hip iced. And they're like, shit.
Yeah.
I thought he was going because they think I was going for something.
Wasn't ready for this.
And I'm down. Now we're standing again.
Yeah.
So, you have to be at least, you know, competent. When I say competent, like either and for wrestling, takedown defenses or takedowns or whatever, takedown and control on top. Mm. It just all depends, but you can mash it together any way you want, but you really have to be at the elite level. You have to be competent at all three.
There's definitely a overlap as well in each discipline. I noticed, cause I did a little jiu-jitsu in high school. I was a wrestler first. And when I would roll around with the BJJ guys, I would get caught in certain moves because of my wrestling habits.
Yes, for sure.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. There's certain things that you do in wrestling that are just bad moves and
horrible. Yeah.
So you have to learn those. I mean, it doesn't take long to teach a wrestler how to correct those things, but it does. I mean, I always say if you send me somebody that hasn't, if I have to have one discipline, send me a guy that was a wrestler. Mm. Because a lot of mat time and things that take a long time to teach balance, you know, so that makes it easier. I mean, I don't have to teach that stuff. I can teach the other stuff, just teach them how to do the other things. But either way, you know, anyway, we can work with anybody.
Yeah, I just read somewhere that wrestling base is the most important. If you have not the most important, but if you have that strong wrestling base, it, like you just said, it makes teaching the other two disciplines a lot easier.
Yeah, well, it makes it. Yeah, that I think I can teach you how to. Plus, you give me, like you say, you give me an All-American wrestler. I already know he knows how to cut weight.
Yeah,
I already know he's mentally tough. You know, now I just got to find out if he can take a punch. Mm. Which means like, I can't teach your heart. And I can't teach you how to, I'm not willing to, or take the time to teach your heart or try to give you a heart. And I can't teach you a chin. So if you, those two things but if you have athletic ability and you come in with some mental toughness, it's,
are you training fighters by chance?
I'm not right now. I mean, I do work with some guys. I teach guys that are already fighting, but I'm not, I spend a lot of time with my kids and my family, so
it's just if someone on the show was like an All-American wrestler, let's just say, and could he had a chin, right? He could take some punches. I don't know. It could be cool if you trained him.
Yeah, I don't mind training people. I like training people actually.
I'm referencing Logan. Okay, I think it'd be dope if you trained him. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, man. I definitely want an MMA fight because. I have a striking background now. I have a wrestling background, a strong wrestling background.
Yeah. At least train.
Huh? At least train. Yeah, I'll train. Yeah. I'll train. I'm going to start doing BJJ, bro. But have you seen my chokes?
What about these?
So my chicken leg's a problem.
Chicken legs. No, actually, I think so. My trainer, people used to make fun of his chicken legs. No, he kicks like a Mack truck. So.
Oh, great. Yeah, okay, sick.
Yeah, he can do splits too.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that. I'll probably help you out.
I'll kick motherfuckers in the temple, bro. Yeah. No temple safe. None. Anyways, what was I going to say? Probably something.
I think it would be something.
Who's your. Man, I like when we banter. That's probably why you're my friend.
It's my favorite part, dude. Yeah, it's my cool. favorite part of all of it. I want to ask him, is there anyone right now fighting that you wouldn't fight?
That's what I was going to say.
Shut up, really?
Nah, probably in a different way.
I was like, yo, wait, what?
We on the same?
I mean, there's no one I wouldn't fight. I thought I could beat everybody.
Is there a dude, though, that is walking around with a little extra dominance than most people?
Who's the baddest man, really, right now in the UFC?
Oh, man. That's tough. Baddest man in the UFC. Shit, I don't know if I give that to anybody.
All right, let me ask you this then. A lot of heavyweight boxers and heavyweight MMA champions will claim the title of baddest man on the planet. You got boxers who are badasses. You got MMA fighters who are badasses. If you take the heavyweight boxing champion and the heavyweight UFC champion, who is the baddest man on the planet realistically?
UFC. I mean, you're talking about a street fight.
Yes.
Come on. The thing is, say he's got heavy hands, one punch coming in. After that, it's closed. And even if that's, if you give him that, if you don't do a low single and shoot in low and just take him down, once they get, if you've got no jiu-jitsu, no wrestling background,
you're fucked.
You will never, I will take you down. It won't take me, I'll take you down in a couple of seconds.
Right.
And you will never get off your back.
Yeah.
I can sit there and I do whatever I want. I can roll around on top of you, spank you. I can do, make you look stupid. I can tap you on the floor. I can play with you like a little kid. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I can give you whatever I wanted to do. Knocking your head.
A wet willy. Have you ever given someone a wet willy during a fight? Have you ever dished out a wet willy?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
Somebody needs to.
See, here's the thing. One of the things when I fight, I was always serious. Like, I don't care how bad you were, or how good you were when I was fighting you. I'm trying to end you as fast as possible. I'm trying to hurt you as bad as I can. I'm not gonna play with you. I'm not gonna go out and try to carry you for a round or showboat or do that. That wasn't me. I'm gonna go out there and try to end you as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. So some fighters now sort of lead with that fun vibe. Like Masvidal's last fight specifically against
that
Nate Diaz.
That was so funny, dude.
Yo, that dude is a showman. Even when he's fighting.
Well, the first thing he did was that flying kick.
He went to go fake the flying knee, and Diaz stopped.
He stopped him
in his tracks.
He had to, because he saw what he did to Askren with it, dude. And like when he did that, bro, everybody that was watching that fight collectively was just laughing. Like, what the fuck did he just, I can't believe he just did that.
Well, Diaz, number one, is not going to come in and shoot. Anyway, right. So it's like that running flying knee wouldn't really do much anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, doing it to Askren, good call, obviously. But, yeah. but you knew that's Askren as soon as he got close, he ran at him, he was gonna duck down and shoot. You knew he was gonna shoot. If he ran at him, he'd shoot. He was showboat there. It started with the hands behind his back.
Hands behind his back always. That's how he starts, leaning against the fence, like nonchalant. He'll wink at the camera. I saw him do that.
Who's that?
I saw him blow a kiss to the camera.
Who's that?
Masvidal.
Oh, Masvidal, yeah.
He like clinched with Diaz and his wink, blow a kiss.
He kept doing it.
And it sucks because like your mentality is by far the best way to become champion of the world forever and go down in history. But man, those showmen in the ring, they're so fun to watch. Everyone loves a showman, man.
Do you know who?
I mean, I always say I don't like all the trash talking and stuff that like McGregor does. You know, it's funny though, his fans get mad at me because I say that, but then they don't read the rest of the article. He was one of my favorite guys. He's one of my top five guys I like to watch fight because he goes out there and fights.
Yeah.
And I get what he's doing. I know what he's doing. I think the Aldo fight, he won that fight because of the trash talking.
Absolutely.
He got in his head.
Yep.
He was mad. I've never seen Aldo run across a ring and start swinging. I mean, he's like a Thai guy. He comes out, yep, feels you out for a round, sees where his things are, and then he attacks.
Yeah.
But he, none of that. He ran across, got oops, and it was over.
Yep.
You know, but I get it. What that does is bring in the fans. You got the hardcore fans, right?
Yeah.
You got hardcore fans, and then you got the fans will watch sometimes, and you got the people that will watch if there's a spectacle, if there's something big going.
Yep.
And that's what you want. I mean, if you want to get paid, those are the guys you need. You go all the way out to you start getting the people that are just watching because it's a show. Someone wants to see it.
I took note of this. Actually, at Andre's birthday party, we put the fight on TV, boxing fight, and some time had passed and there was like a congregate of people watching this fight. It's something about fighting over any other sport just like forces people to watch it. Because, I mean, it's one of the most intense disciplined sports there is. And you know, in many ways, you're like risking your life when you hop in that cage.
Oh yeah. And it's one of those things that I think mixed martial arts is the greatest sport in the world. I mean, I love boxing too. I mean, I've never been the boxing versus MMA. I mean, we want to talk about fighting in the street. I'm going to explain it to you, but we already explained that earlier, but like I watch, they're both separate sports. They're different. The only thing that bothers me is boxing guys talking about, the striking in MMA isn't the same. Well, you can't sit in the same stance. If you stand in a boxing stance with me, you got one round before I'm going to kick your leg so many times, you won't be able to put your foot, you won't be weight on it. I mean, if you can't block my leg kick, you're not going to stop it. It's not in a boxing stance. So, and if you put as much weight as they do on their feet, you can't do it.
Yeah.
It's a different, and like the timing changes from boxing to kickboxing, from kickboxing to MMA, the distance and timing changes. Everything changes.
How does a boxer beat an MMA fighter? Because I was thinking about before what you said about if you rush a guy in a street fight or in any fight, if it's MMA versus boxer, I can imagine that the MMA guy is going to win 9.9 times out of 10 because the takedown is the variable, right? Like if a boxer is not ready for it, by the way, they're usually top heavy guys. They're big swingers. If you go for the legs and you take that guy down, what is he going to do? So how does a boxer win? Just start striking like crazy? Well, like what
he's going to have to catch you coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, just have to time it and catch you coming in, or he's got to learn how to stop a takedown. I mean, because it's,
which by the way,
which is not as easy as it sounds. Yeah, it's sure, not like, yeah. It's not, there's not like a, you know, an easy fix. I used to get it all the time. I go to seminars. So, okay. How do you stop a takedown? I'm like, where do I start?
give me 6 months. I'll tell you,
cause you gotta know what the guy's trying to do. I mean, you wrestled. If you don't know what his counter is, he's gonna get you to come one way, go the other way. You're gonna switch around, switch. And they'll just keep countering your counter. Yeah. You got to kind of understand how to block people.
Takedown defense was the reason I was as good as I was. I'm a big counter wrestler, and even in boxing, I'm like a counter striker.
And that's what helped me too. I was a great scrambler. I was hard to take down. I was really hard. Like, I'd lose by 1 point to the guy that took second in nationals.
Yeah.
And I mean, my freshman year I was 9-12, and I lost by 2 points, the guy that took second in nationals.
Yeah.
But I was just hard to score on. Yeah. I was always hard to score on. So when you add that into fighting, now, and people, I hit a guy once or twice, and they're like, oh, shit, they back up.
Yeah.
You know, they start shooting from further away. It makes it real easy to stop a takedown.
Yeah. Did you, when you were in training camp and stuff, did you ever party or?
Not during training camp, no.
What about?
Right after training,
yeah, post training camp,
post fight. Oh yeah, it was a good one.
bro. I seen you at Dan Bilzerian's.
Yeah,
I know my man parties.
We've been asking everybody this. What about the sex leading into the fight? Are you a believer that you need to protect your
protect the seed?
No. I never.
We can't find like, one fucking person that believes this except for anybody that trains him. Not one person,
never,
dude.
I've never, honestly, my coach, he boxed. He had like 200 amateur fights. He had probably 60 pro fights between boxing and kickboxing. And he said early in his career, if I listened to that, I wouldn't have sex ever. I was 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out from a fight.
True.
I'm like, screw that. He's like, I'm not doing that. And he's like, it doesn't bother me. His whole thing was at least he's like, just do me the favor the night before, just one time. Yeah. He's on the one time, and she's sense. On top. That's what my trainer is.
Stay relaxed.
Thanks, John.
Shout out, John.
Bro, I come to practice, and Shannon would look at me and go, "Yo, you nut last night?" I'm like, no.
He could smell it.
But he knew every time.
He smelled it.
Yeah, but
and then in sparring is what really gave it away, bro. Because sometimes I'd be fighting, my legs are like shaking a little bit. I'm like, nah, I'm fine. My reaction's a little slow.
But now we're hearing that's not the case. My thought on it is
bad fucking day.
I think it's an old wives' tale from back in the day. Those guys used to go out, like they go out. It's from carousing. It's going out and trying to get it. It's trying
too
out,
much energy.
Going out drinking and smoking. Yeah, back in the day, about. Back in like the 20s or 30s, smoking and drinking and going out and getting girls, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was, I think that's what it stems from. I mean, that's the only thing I can do. Because medically speaking, I don't think it, scientifically speaking, I don't think it,
well, there's no proof. There's no proof one way or the other. So like, unless somebody's going to bring some sort of valid scientific proof that not busting.
But if it's in your head, if you believe it causes a problem, it'll cause a problem.
That's the problem. But that is the problem, because he would come home Shannon would find out that he came a couple times, and then it would turn into Shannon saying, yo, like now you're going to be fucked up. And then in his mind, he's like, now I'm fucked up.
Yo, so when I had my wet dreams the week of the fight, it fucked me up, bro.
Or you thought it did.
No, 2 days before the fight, I'm sitting there, I'm like, fucking come in my bed, bro. I'm just like, this sucks. Yeah. 2 days before the fight? God, why? God, why? I'm not participating.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because you weren't having sex.
Honestly, if you believe it, it can cause a problem then. Yeah. I mean, if you don't believe
it's
it.
It's all mental.
It's a mental thing.
Yeah. Bro, and for sure.
It's definitely not a physical thing.
Man. I'm a moron in that if someone tells me like that I can't fuck, like unfortunately, like I want to fuck 100 times more than normal. Mm. If someone's like, yo, like regular schedule, regular programming, I don't know, once, twice a week, maybe. Like, I can't have something, like, I'm that guy who needs it, you know?
You're a spite banger.
Yes, bro. bro, I was having sex, bro, and, like, I was thinking about Shannon.
Sorry, what?
Shannon was in the back of my head. Let's go, champ.
He's like, don't nut, champ.
Watch this, champ. Watch this, champ.
Don't nut, champ.
Don't nut, champ.
Let's go home, champ.
Let's go home, champ. After the fight.
See, you got to go back to that vegan stuff. It's just transfer energy.
Yeah.
It's true.
No sex, just the transfer energy.
That's funny. It sex in many ways, not to get too off topic, is a transfer of energy. Like I'll be blatantly honest. I had sex with a girl the other day and like, I was having a bad day.
Ooh.
And so like, I gave her all my problems.
You know? Yeah. She just left and gets hit by an F-150.
Yeah, it was like a stress reliever for me, but like I could feel unloading a weight off of my shoulders and giving it to her. Like, bro, when you have sex, in many ways, if a girl's having a bad day and you have sex with her, bro, like you get her problems, man.
Yeah, but why?
Matt has a theory on this.
I hope not.
I hope not too. Because let's be honest. Girls are always having a fucking bad day about something, bro. Like, they're always having a bad day. Oh, Mac, so is that, like...
Mac has a theory on this. He says if you have sex with a girl, he believes you inherit her problems and all the guys she's ever had sex with, all their problems.
Yeah.
Wait, Bilski or Antonov?
Mac Bilski, yeah.
Yeah, he's a wild one.
I can see it.
So that's why he refrains sometimes.
Mm, he hasn't been refraining lately.
I know.
What's good?
He brought a club rat home the other night. That was one of the most surprising things I ever seen in my fucking life.
Wow. So did Evan.
Actually, that's true.
The boys have been turning up lately. It's getting frisky.
Yeah, dude.
Damn, what is it? What do you guys think it is? There's something in the air?
I think now that we're not in training camp, I mean, you know this. You just said it. Like, after training camp, it's time to party.
Oh yeah,
especially
it's like you feel like you've been training so hard and being under control, and you gotta let loose. You gotta have some fun.
And coincidentally, it's like nearing the end of the year. We're feeling the holiday energy, like Thanksgiving, Christmas. I mean, I'm going home. I'm drinking with my friends.
First, you gotta go to Hawaii too, dude.
With your family.
Crazy. Yeah, Hawaii on Wednesday. What did you watch any of his fight? Did you see any of the highlights from it or anything
I didn't see the last one. I saw the first one, the amateur one. Yeah. I didn't see the pro one. What's a 2 point? Since when have they ever deducted 2 points for anything?
Yep.
I'm a sip.
I mean, I'm sorry. I heard that and I was trying to load it. It just wasn't loading on my phone. But I was like, I gotta see what causes a 2 point deduction. I've never seen one.
Yo, listen,
I've watched. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of boxing. I'm watching boxing since I was a kid. I've never seen it.
I know one. Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear. They took 2 points for that.
Bro,
you cannot bite off someone's bodily function.
I thought they just stopped the fight there.
It wasn't
No, I didn't say it was the last one. I just said it was an example of a 2 point deduction. That's all.
Well, I mean, that's. I that's the only thing I might actually when someone says something I'm like, well, maybe the Mike Tyson by the ear would deduct too. I don't know. I just ended right.
Yeah. Huh?
2 points for the ear off, and they still fought.
So that's what I'm saying.
I thought they did. They keep.
Should I have just bit his ear?
He bit his ear, and then when he bit it again, I think he bit it. And then
That's right.
I was like,
he bit into his bloody orifice that was left from the first.
He wanted seconds, dude.
Literally.
Damn, he went back for seconds.
Dude, Tyson is a whole different breed animal. He's a whole fucking different
in
breed.
In that thing that we referenced, the one night, the Joshua Ruiz documentary, which, by the way, you should watch, Tyson quite literally steals the show. He is
the best.
I don't know what happened, but he became such a... flamboyant big personality.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It is incredible.
He was he's got his podcast, which is amazing. Yep. Hotboxing with Mike Tyson. Yeah. And he just blazes trees all day.
The whole time.
He's just a great guy.
He was talking about how when you get hit and your equilibrium's off, he's like, your mind's working, but your body's fucked up. And every time he would say it, like the crowd would burst into laughter. Burst. Like the entire crowd would be cracking. And
he's like, mind working, body fucked up.
Your body fucked up. The problem with Tyson, though, is like, no matter what he does, even when he's talking about something deathly serious, the crowd bursts into laughter. That's like one of those situations where it's like you can't turn the clownery off just because of the way he exudes himself. But it's like, yeah, he's a character.
Such a great human.
Yeah, he is.
I think the first time I ran into him, he's like, man, don't let those promoters screw you.
Really?
I was just talking outside a fight. We're going at some party up in the hills, Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
And walking in, hey, don't let those promoters screw you.
He's not wrong though.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Good advice.
Good advice.
Always looking out.
All right. Let's do audio only. It's like this, but audio only. It's on Spotify and iTunes. So Chuck Liddell, bro, thanks for coming on Impulsive, brother.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me, man. It's a lot of fun. You guys are
thank you, bro.
Me.
What's your Instagram handle, your Twitter handle? Where can they find you?
Just at Chuck Liddell.
That makes sense.
Nice. Easy. Right. Simple.
Stick around.
Get real simple.
Stick around. We're gonna go to the audio only right now, exclusively only on Spotify and iTunes. You gotta listen to it. After all, this is a podcast. It's audio based. So thank you for listening to Impulsive, featuring Chuck Liddell, the number one podcast in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Peace. All right, we're still here.
That was such a weird outro.
I don't know.
Why. No, it was good, but it was like.
It was butter.
It was great.
Well, if you have something to say.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you want to fight?
Yeah, me and Chuck versus you two. Yeah,
you got shit to talk?
I wanted to ask you about mental health. Like, honestly, how do you stay sane during all this? Do you have any rituals? Like, you go in hyperbaric chamber, you meditate?
I like hyperbaric chambers for healing. I don't know if that's for sanity. I mean, my meditation is just hitting the bag, hitting the mitts, going out and going training. I mean, it's the only time I really shut off is when I go out and spar, when I go out and I'm rolling, doing jujitsu, where I'm just thinking about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, your mind's always racing, got a bunch of things going on. I always have a bunch of things going on. But when I'm sparring, I'm actually just trying to figure out how to mess with
clears me. Clears you out.
So it actually, that time alone in my head, away from everything else, is actually what I think keeps me sane.
You got a wife and kids?
Yeah.
Must be nice, man. What's that like?
It's awesome. I got a great family. My wife helps me with everything. She's great. My kids are amazing. They're great. 6, 7, and 18.
Nice.
Oh, so yeah, it started and then took a little time off and
got started again. So
yeah. Where do you guys live?
Hidden Hills.
Oh, you're right.
Calabasas, yeah.
Hidden Hills.
What does your wife think when you go into the ring? Is she freaking out?
She understands what I'm doing. She didn't like it. I mean, she didn't like me fighting, actually, but she knows that's what I do and that's who I am. She's not bad, you know, and she.
That's crazy. The amount of people who told me that they describing their nerves for my fight, like acquaintances, friends, like people way up in the nosebleeds is insane. And like, it's crazy how one event can cause that much anxiety for someone else. Who's not me. Like, I was probably the least nervous person there that night in my friend group.
I fucking hate every second.
I'm always, my thing, like, I'm the same way. I'm known for not being nervous before fights. I don't get nervous for fights when I'm fighting. Now everybody else, all my friends fighting. I'm like,
Yeah.
Yo, watch the right. Watch the fucking right. Like,
I'm
screaming.
I'm trying to move them out of things.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen me watching a fight? I'm like, people like running.
Somebody's got the video of me walking into the seats prior to this fight. And like, you know, like obviously I'd sat all those influencers in that section. They're all my homies. And I walk in and all of them are reaching out. Yo, what's good? You ready for this? And I'm literally like, it was the one time you've ever seen me. I didn't say shit to anybody. I walked past everybody.
No way.
The first time I said anything is when I told that dude behind me that I was going to fucking kill him in front of his family. Because he called our door friend Peter Dinklage, the dude from fucking Game of Thrones, as like a diss. He said it like underhanded. And I was like, what the fuck did you just say? And then I fucking flipped on him. I was like, I'll kill you, bro, in the fucking arena, literally. And I hadn't said anything else to anyone else. And then as soon as that was done, I went right back to the fight. It was the only time like I literally didn't want to talk to anyone. Like, I was so stressed out, bro.
Yeah, that, That's how I get with fights too. I get so I'm not like watching with people, my friends. Yeah. Fighting them.
Tense up.
It's I think something's wrong with me, bro. Not only was I not nervous for my fight, I wasn't nervous for Jake's fight either. My own brother.
Are you a sociopath, you think?
It's quite possible.
I feel like you were feeling something though. Because I remember being in that locker room.
This fight.
No, the first
previous fight.
Fight
for sure. I think it's had something to do with the first boxing match, girlfriend. Well, parents, Manchester.
So you were nervous.
No. It was butterflies.
Butterflies.
Bro, but this last fight, on God, I felt nothing. Which is why I think I performed the way I did. No. Nothing, bro.
Calm.
Bieber next to me. Calm.
Yeah, you're
peace. That's what Bieber was telling him on the way out. And I was like, I kind of wish he said something else. Like, yo, kill or be killed. Like, fuck this dude up. Take his head off. He was like, calm.
Blow yourself up if you have to. Do anything.
You got him saying that. You got Shannon not letting him fuck. The kid walked out. He's a fucking wreck. He didn't know which way to go. He didn't know if he was coming or going. He just knows he hadn't been coming. So now he's gone. I don't know where we're going with this one.
What's next for Chuck Liddell?
Well, I just got back from shooting a movie up in Regina, Canada.
Nice.
What is it?
Regina.
Regina.
No. Well, everyone there makes a joke. It's the place that rhymes with fun.
Facts. I love that.
That's excellent.
It's very cold, but it was fun up there.
It's called Acceleration, yeah?
No, that was, I just, that was one's already out. This one I just shot. It's a working title. It's Cage Fighter. It's just
cool.
But just got done with that. Yeah, Acceleration's out. Just that was fun. I've been in four movies now, I think, with Dolph Lundgren. I finally actually got to see him on set and actually fight with him.
Nice.
This
last one.
He was a part of this doc that we just watched with the one night shit. He was a part of that as well.
Yeah.
What? So how long were you up there in Vagina?
Yeah, I was up there for about 20 days.
Is it like a off the map kind of like there's nothing for miles and miles type shit? Or
it's in the middle of nowhere.
How do you like that?
It was all right. It was good for work. I mean, the sound stage was great. We got to work doing some stuff in the stadium.
Yeah.
Regina. It's a city in Saskatchewan.
I called it Regina on the way. Oh, where are you going? I'm going to Regina on my trip to Calgary, on the flight to Calgary. Lady from Canada was sitting next to me. She goes, actually, unfortunately, it's Regina.
They call it Regina?
Wow. It's Regina.
Why would they not say Regina?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying.
And why would I ever Regina? Call a girl named Regina ever again? You're now Regina.
Regina. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, unfortunately, it's Regina.
Unfortunately.
Oh, man.
We're going to have to send you home now because you
I'm driving right in the cab, or not a cab, the car that picked us up. And they actually said, hey, what's there to do around town? You know, they would, you know, see or whatever. The only thing to do here is drink, fight, and fuck. I'm like, wow.
Hey, that's great.
Thank you. That was a lot of help.
That's
a lot of help.
Could you look up round trips to Regina for us quickly?
Yeah, that don't sound bad.
We should get going
there. All right, cool, man. That's it. Let's wrap it up. Chuck, bro, thanks for coming on again.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
Of course. Hey, thanks for listening, man. You guys who listen to this, like, thanks for that.
All right, now that one.
We'll see you next time. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.